Controversy continues at Prince George's post-secondary institutions. Last week, UNBC Senate held a vote of non-confidence in the chair of the Board of Governors because of the decision to stick with former Conservative Cabinet Minister James Moore as the university's next chancellor. Meanwhile, at the College of New Caledonia, there's been some conflict between faculty and the administration, in part stemming from the fact that there have been new appointees to the board that are connected to the BC Liberal Party. Andrew Weaver thinks he knows how to solve these problems. He is a Green MLA for Oak Bay Gordon Head, and 2 weeks ago he introduced a bill called Ensuring Independence of University Boards. And to talk about that, he joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me about this bill, the University Amendment Act.
Well, what I was trying to do with this bill is essentially reduce the role of government in university and governance in British Columbia. What the bill does is two things. First off, it eliminates at the research universities in British Columbia two government members. That is, it's very odd that in BC the government feels the need to have majority control of virtually all boards, whereas in universities in other provinces this is not the case. In fact, it is more unusual to have that government majority. And the reason why, of course, is universities play a critical role in any society in informing and in training the next generation of citizenship. The role of the university is not to put out a bunch of people targeted for specific jobs, because because government often is very poor picker of winner and losers of what those jobs will be. The university trains people to be able to learn critically, to be able to address problems, to be able to be creative and innovative, and let the market then find a home for these people. And the universities are market-driven, that if there's no demand for programs very quickly shut down. Unfortunately, government has had creeping control over universities in recent years, and this is essentially a turning back the clock to saying enough is enough. The second aspect of this is it's very odd in British Columbia that the most honorific academic position, the chancellor, is appointed by the board. This is just simply not the case elsewhere, and it never used to be the case in BC.
The chancellor ultimately is a symbolic position. He is a voting board member, but only one. I'm just curious if there's more concrete things that could affect universities or colleges that the board is in charge of.
Yes, the board is in charge of essentially the budgeting, the financing, the appointment of the president, and so forth. So, there are presidential search committees. They must be approved by the board, and the budget's approved by the board. And so the board has an awful lot of control as to about the priorities of the institution from a financial point of view, where money goes or flows. That is a very, so that, boards can make decisions about cutting funding in certain area. There'd be uproar because, there's academic views as well. But boards have the ultimate reporting power on financial decisions. So it is potentially very troubling to have government control on boards. Government may decide that it no longer likes degrees in Greek and Roman studies. And while academe would obviously support that, financial cuts are done through the board, or approved through the board at least.
How did BC wind up this way? How did we wind up being different from the rest of the country?
Well, the reason why we became different was, if with the appointment of the chancellor, was through legislation that was brought in when somebody at UBC contested the chancellor that was nominated by the nominating committee, which was made up of senators, etc. Because it is an elected position, it can be contested. It's extraordinarily rare for it to be contested. Because it was contested once at UBC, the legislation was brought in to essentially appoint it. In terms of the actual board dominance, I don't remember the actual year that came into place, but it is. I mean, what we see in BC is BC is unique in so many ways. There's so many oddities of the way we do things relative to the rest of Canada or the rest of the world. This is just another example.
And I would just like to go back to this government, as you put it, government interference part. The composition of the Board of Governors at UNBC, and you can maybe tell me where the government comes in. There's 15 members. 8 of them are appointed by the Lieutenant Governor and Council. 5 are elected from the university community. That includes students, faculty, and non-faculty. And then there's a chancellor, the president, and the vice chancellor. So Where does the government come into these?
Those the people appointed by Lieutenant Governor in Council are government appointees. So that's the majority of the board. The eight are appointed. So my bill would reduce that to six.
And is the Lieutenant Governor in Council, are they making that recommendation on their own, or is this another instance where the Lieutenant Governor takes the advice of the Premier?
The Lieutenant Governor in Council is essentially cabinet. Essentially, the people put in people that they believe, well, you know, the way it's emerging, at least the way it's you know, you put people who you have trust in, who probably share your values. So what you're getting then is, and this is not normal human behavior, you will get people in the board with a majority position that share the values of the government du jour. Now, governments change, but universities transcend many governments, and to have government control is very worrying.
Government's not going to be approaching universities thinking they want to appoint people who they think will do a bad job, though.
They will appoint people who they... no, of course, you don't want to appoint incompetent people, but what you would like to appoint... typically, and it's human nature, those people who share your values. If there are those who, if your value is that the university is a place to train widget builders of a particular form, you might imagine that university boards will be filled with people who want widget builders to be put in place of a particular form. And that is unhealthy for a university. And I can give some specific examples. Government decided back in the day that suddenly it was going to invest a whole bunch of money in the computer sciences. And it did it right at the internet bubble. So they created all this money, all this program for positions, for programs that there was no demand for because the internet bubble burst. So this is why government needs to step out, let the universities determine where the demand is, let society determine where the demand is, and government facilitates that role. This isn't elitist, but this is how a university has operated throughout time. And it's, you know, it behooves us to not kind of, you know, wake up one morning and have a government decide that universities should be repurposed to do this, that, or the other.
Excellent. Andrew Weaver, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
And Andrew Weaver is a Green MLA for Oak Bay Gordon Head.